When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Courtney in for Greg. It's Courtney, Wiggy, and Shime. Jackson's in the back crushing it. But it is a Patriots Friday, and we have Jelani Tavai joining us this morning. And this is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. Let me see if I can work this screen. I can never work this screen. There we go. Jelani, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Of course. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You guys coming off a bye week, face an Arizona team, and things don't go your way. How was it during the bye week, and what was your main focus going into that game against Arizona?
I felt that we were getting ready, and we were energized and prepared. Unfortunately, you know, the outcome didn't show how our preparation was. But you know what? I'm just happy we have another opportunity against the Bills this week to showcase what we're trying to put out. And so far, we've been having a good week of practice, and all our focus right now is on Buffalo. So we're going in a hostile territory, and definitely don't want to go there lackadaisical, because if we do, you know, that crowd is something else.
You guys did give up 164 rushing yards in that game against Arizona, though. What was it about the Cardinals that gave you guys such a difficult time, and how do you work on that as you get ready for a tough competition in Buffalo?
The biggest thing was just missed tackles and you know, that chunk run early in the game. You know, I don't live in the what ifs, because, you know, I don't. I'm not going to say if we took care of that, then, you know, it would have been different. But, it's a whole new week. You know, we got Buffalo, who's got a great quarterback in Josh. And, you know, they have Cook, who's been having a good few years. So we got to basically just do our jobs. Tackle the guy who has the ball and just make sure our communication's on point with each other.
Jelani, I feel like we've been talking about this all year long, whether it was with you or whether it's been with Gerard Mayo and the missed tackles. What do you think the reasoning behind so many missed tackles?
Just getting to the ball. You know, a lot of times it's one-on-ones, and the best way to, you know, usually avoid missed tackles is gang tackling, you know. Having all 11 guys to the ball. So that's one of the big things.
I just want to ask something real quick. Is it more about, like, because when you think of gang tackling, right, is it more about guys getting off blocks so they can now rally around the block, the ball carrier, or is it more about making sure that your foot on the gas and you're hustling to the ball, not thinking that your one guy is going to make the tackle?
I mean, it's a mixture of both. You know, you gotta the biggest thing is you can't go one, like, we always pride ourselves on not going one for one. And if you are, and if you do have a wide open shot at a guy, you know, you should be able to, like, you know, take him down. And that includes myself. You know, I had two missed tackles that game, and you know, that ticked me off. And I was trying my best to make sure that I made up for it throughout the game. So, you know, it just comes down to us making sure that we get that guy down. You know, it's a tough league. I think James Conner just had a really good game that day too. He was running his heart out, so my hat goes out to him. But yeah, like I said, this whole new week, we've got to make sure that we stop the run, whether it's Cook, whether it's Ty Johnson, or whether it's Josh, you know, because they do run a lot of QB runs. So we just got to make sure that we get off our blocks, and all 11 guys just got to be their ball.
Yeah, Jelani, I think the majority of the season you guys have started games pretty well and pretty strong. And against the Bills, I mean, that's going to be really important to kind of handle Josh early in that game. Has the issue been a lack of adjustments, do you think, during the middle of the game? Or is it just simply that you guys have just been not able to capitalize on the little things, on the tackling and just the positioning and holding your lanes and such like that?
I would say it's the little things. I always think it's the little things, you know. But that just comes down to us making sure that we get off our blocks, like we said, and securing our tackles. Whether it's we got a gator roll, you gotta make sure that I don't know. It makes our job way more easier when you see 11 guys to the ball. You know, that's, and you know, most guys who are running the ball hate like when they see that. You know, when they see all guys just swarming and trying to tackle you with bad intentions, you know. So this week we've definitely been having a lot of swarm practices where we just, you know, if you're not running to the ball, you're out. So I'm glad to see that we're adjusting to that and trying to nip the problem in the butt, even if it's this late in the season.
Jelani, how difficult is it when you look around the locker room and you've got 3 weeks left of the season, you face the Bills twice, the Chargers once? For the younger guys, do you feel it like a responsibility as an older guy in the locker room to make sure that everybody still has their head in the game? Or do you think that everybody's on the same page when it comes to making sure you finish the season as strong as you can?
No, everybody's on the same page right now. I said this before, like, nobody likes to lose in our locker room, you know, and if you're okay with losing, like, you're in the wrong business of work, you know. And every day I see the guys in here frustrated because we're trying to win, and we know that what's killing us is these little things, whether it's on or off the field or just simple plays that we never mess up. Like, we'll have a minor thing that, you know, the team will capitalize on. So I think, like I said, we're all on the same page on what our goal is, which is to win. And I don't think anybody's checked out right now because everybody's showing up to work. I expect everybody to come into this building pissed off and ready to practice, and that's what I'm seeing. So, yeah, so we're ready. We're definitely ready to make sure we go out to Buffalo and you know, show out.
Jelani, Josh Allen having an MVP type season. What do you guys need to do? What's the number one thing you guys got to do as a defense to give your team an opportunity to win when it comes to defending Josh Allen?
Biggest thing is getting him down. You know, if we're talking about his run game, we got to make sure that we get him down however we do, you know. And that's one of the biggest things, that's the toughest thing to do in this league right now, which is tackling quarterbacks. I guess it's just all the caution signs are up as soon as he starts running the ball, because you don't know if he's going to slide, whether he's going to – I mean, you guys see the film. This guy would literally run all the way to the sideline, stop his feet at the sideline, and, you know – take that extra second to look down the field and throw the ball while we're trying to push him out of bounds, or or come and hit him. So you don't, you know, it's a hard thing to do because you don't know if he's going to try and jump out of bounds or whatever. And the second is making sure we keep him in the pocket. You know, that's he's a dangerous guy, but he's more dangerous when he's outside the pocket and he's playing, you know, street football. So that's one of the biggest things that we have to do.
Jelani, this team has three really athletic, good running backs, and guys that can catch out of the backfield. How difficult will it be for you guys to really kind of match up with them in man coverage and really kind of making sure that you you hold them in check?
I think we're gonna have a good matchup. They got some really quick guys, but we got some really really fast guys too to match up against them. So we got a good game plan set for that, and come Sunday, I think we're gonna be ready.
Jelani, I'm all about fixing leagues. Working on fixing college football. We're getting a 2014 playoffs system in there. I think I can fix the NFL when it comes to the quarterback situation. How would you feel about this rule? The quarterback has a 5-yard halo. If he hasn't slid in within 5 yards of the defender, he becomes fair game. So now that kind of takes the guessing out of it.
Man, I miss the old rules, to be honest. I don't even... The quarterbacks should know better. They're getting paid all this money to be a quarterback, so don't try and, you know, take advantage of the game. I'm not trying to take a fine or suspension off of their like them being dumb, you know. So I'm down for that too. But those old rules, when I grew up seeing the Terrell Suggs or the Junior Seau smack the crap out of quarterbacks, I'm down for that.
Huh? Well, Jelani, it's probably the last time that a few of us will talk to you this year. So on behalf of everybody, thanks so much for taking the time. You've always been so kind with us when calling, winning or losing. You've always given us good answers, fair answers, and just been a class act. And I know it's your first Christmas with a little one as a dad. So how excited is that? Yeah. Are you for that?
No, I'm really excited. I definitely still have some things to get my daughter, but I'm excited. It's going to be a special feeling.
Well, as a father of three, Jelani, don't spend a ton of money when they're this little because they don't remember anything.
Just tons of diapers and probably wipers. Is that right?
That is it. Get them one gift because generally they end up playing with the one gift the whole time. Usually you put a ball in front of them and they're happy.
We were talking about Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy earlier and the gifts that they got some of their guys. Any big gifts in the Patriots locker room this year?
They did their thing yesterday, so we're going to find out today who had the best gift.
All right. Well, thank you, Jelani Tavai. That's a Patriots Friday. We will talk to you the next year.
Yep. Sounds great. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I'm telling you, they should, and I'm an offensive guy, but they should incorporate the slide halo.
Well, you've been saying that now for weeks.
Yeah, so. Because these quarterbacks, they wait till the last minute. So if you have a 5-yard halo, meaning like, okay, a defender knows they have enough time to know like, okay, this guy is already, he's already started his slide and I don't even have to worry about it. But once you get inside of that 5-yard halo, you are fair game. You are fair game.
And do you think that will make it safer?
What it will do is it'll make it safer because now quarterbacks are going to have to say, I'm giving myself up early. Or quarterbacks are going to say, you know what? I'm a runner and I'm looking to pick up extra yards. And so try to tackle me.
I just think that when you, it'll take a long time to implement something like that before it's actually safe. Like, because you talk about it all the time that in the game, everything's happening so fast. So for a quarterback to now say, okay, I have a 5-yard halo, that to me, I think you're going to find guys getting themselves in a lot of trouble.
They do it. They did it with the punt return rule. That you have to give the returner, like, I think it's like a 2-yard halo or something like that, and let him catch the ball, and then you could tee off on him. Mm-hmm. And now, so as you going down to tackle a guy, you have to wait, you got to hesitate for a second, but as soon as he catches that ball, you got to make sure you're, you know, 2 yards away, and then you can go on and make the play. Same in football, and Jelani's right. These quarterbacks take advantage of it, especially nowadays. There's so many more good athletes at quarterback.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is probably a great...
He takes advantage of it more than anybody.
But think of when I played, there were still some runners, but there weren't as many runners. Now everybody... So when a guy like Drew Bledsoe got outside the pocket, he would run and then he slide, and he's giving himself up early. Whether it was a guy like Marino, Joe Montana, Vinny Testaverde, like the list goes on and on. Now there's so many athletic... Even like Brock Purdy, right? He's not known as being a runner, but he's a good enough athlete that when he gets outside the pocket, he can pick up some yards using his legs. So if you let the quarterback know, hey, if you don't give yourself up early, you become fair game, and it's safer for the defenders where they can actually play football.
Well, I think this is a good segue because we're going to hear from, I believe, AVP during They Said It this morning, and why maybe we're not seeing Drake May, the play calling that maybe we want to see out of him because it's to protect him. So can we get to that?
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, where do you want to start this morning, Chime?
Well, Courtney, I think we start exactly where you were just talking about. Alex Van Pelt spoke to the media yesterday. He talked about the... calling, or not lack thereof, I should say, of Drake May quarterback sneaks. He was asked if they would even call it. Here was his response. There was a bit of a follow-up, too, that I wanted to include in this about keeping May healthy. So here was Alex Van Pelt's full, basically, discussion on Drake May, the quarterback sneak, and keeping him healthy.
Yeah, no, I think so. I do. I do think so. I think we can sneak with Drake. I think he's done it in the past. I'm not fearful of that as much. Really just focusing on keeping him out of harm's way and getting him through these last three games healthy. And that's really where it comes to. It's about developing our quarterback. I think we all feel very confident in his abilities. At the same time, I'd hate to lose him and not let him finish out the season by using him in a way where if we didn't need to, then we didn't have to. So that's kind of my thought on that.
So you mentioned keeping Drake healthy for these last three games and out of harm's way. And with the design quarterback runs and things like that, if let's say the record was a little bit different, would you say that would invite calling those a little bit more?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. If it's third and two and we're trying to get to a playoff spot, then we're going to use every means necessary to get those plays and put our guys in the best position. But, I've been around the quarterback run game in Cleveland, and we lost our quarterback for the year. And so I know what it entails. I know what comes with that. There is a big risk that's involved. And, again, if it's a playoff situation or it's a got to have it to win the game possibly, but when that comes up, we'll make that determination.
Mm. Now, that's interesting because Curtis asking Jerod Mayo about that on Monday, and he wouldn't say that the reason that they hold Drake May back in that situation is because they're worried about injury.
But we kind of knew that all year long because wasn't that like...
I know we knew it.
Did Mayo even mention the concussion protocol when he was with us?
Yes, yeah. but wasn't he kind of saying, like, I don't want to go there? Like, I just think it's an interesting week to have vastly different answers to the same question from two guys that we have been saying maybe there's something up there.
Unless this is their moment to walk it back, where Jerod kind of said, well, yeah, we don't really want to run him. You know, at first it was the concussion protocol. Now it's like, we just haven't. It is what it is. And then AVP's telling you, no, it's like they're walking it back again, where it's like, no, we didn't do it because of concussion protocol. We're still not doing it because we don't want to put him back in concussion protocol.
I think it's dumb what he said, because if that's the approach that you're going to take, and that was part of the reasoning on why you didn't want to start him week one is because you were afraid that he might get hurt. And then he's like, well, we don't, if we're a playoff team or we're in a better position, maybe we have some design runs. Well, then that means what about those games that you could have won and maybe put you and maybe made you a playoff contender if you did have some designed runs? Mm-hmm. If we just heard Jelani Tavai talking about how Josh Allen, they utilize him with designed runs. They don't say, well, we don't want to run Josh Allen because we're aware that he's going to get hurt. Guess what? If this is a skill set that that player has, getting hurt is part of the game.
Right.
You just hope the quarterback, after he gets out of the pocket on the design run, protects himself.
You don't read into it at all that Drake had a concussion situation earlier in the season, and maybe that's why they are protecting him a bit more.
No, because guess what? There's times where we've seen Drake May get outside the pocket after his concussion. Didn't he run for like 45 yards or 50 yards on one play and didn't elect to go out of bounds? So I don't really look at it like that. If the kids, when the play breaks down and the kid extends it with his legs and says, you know what, I'm going to be a runner, and he's still being aggressive and he's not like giving himself up early, he's not thinking about the concussion that he had early in the season. I just think that you utilize your players and you don't worry about injuries.
And I also think, Wiggy, too, to that point, like, a lot of people don't want to admit that the majority of these injuries happen to quarterbacks in the pocket. And a lot of the injuries, I mean, happen to pocket passers as often as they happen to runners. I mean, you look at Cam Newton, who Wiggy will admit loved Cam Newton, one of the most physical runners we've seen at the quarterback position in football in a very long time. In 8 years, missed 5 games.
Right.
Like, he never missed football games, and he was taking a beating. Josh Allen takes a beating, doesn't miss football
Lamar
games.
Lamar Jackson.
It's like, it's about, Lamar's injuries came both times in the pocket. Like, it's about how, like, what kind of injuries you're taking and how you're taking hits and how you're getting out of bounds and getting down early, giving yourself up. So it's on the quarterback, if he has those abilities, to utilize them, but to be smart with them.
Yeah, and I don't like that, because you're saying that we didn't want to do that because we didn't want to get hurt, but you also didn't give your team the best chance to win because you weren't using a skill that one of your best players is really good at.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like we're saying run Drake May and he's Mac Jones. He is a legit dynamic runner, in the sense of he can make a lot of plays with his legs off a design run, very similar to what we see with Josh Allen. And the fact that you're not utilizing that is just not helping your team.
All right, Chime, what else do we have?
Let's go back to the Boston Celtics. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Joe Mazzulla got in a bit of a confrontation with the referees, more or less. Here was his answer to why they got the technical early in the game, and what he wanted to say to the refs after the game, that he had to be assisted off the court.
I just can't be on the court, so, the ref had to do his job. I was on the court, and, that's it.
What were you guys frustrated with on the call? Like, what happened on that play that you guys were frustrated with?
I was on the court, so I just can't be on the court.
Just to be clear, you got the technical not for anything you said, but because you stepped onto the court there?
Yeah, I just stepped on the court.
And after the game, looked like a couple of assistants and security guard needed to kind of hold you back. What message were you trying to deliver there?
I just hadn't seen them in a while, so just a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I wasn't sure I was going to see them before the holiday, and I just can't let a moment go by to where you wish someone, just the best, to them and theirs and their families.
I love him. I love him.
He's the best.
Curtis would have hated that. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Like, he was so mad, and we played it earlier. I don't know if Mitch can get it back up for those watching on Twitch and YouTube, but he was... It was a perfect, like, let me take my earrings out, hold me back. Right. Hold me back. And he's a jujitsu guy.
Oh, take them earrings off and them high heels. You know it's about to be on and popping.
Yeah, and he could have gotten out of that if he wanted, but credit to those assistant coaches and the security that come out. I mean...
So that's, they gave him the tech just for stepping on the court. That's like...
That's what he says.
Yeah. I mean, probably, but even like Eddie House says, you know,
I don't think he said anything, though, that would have deserved a tech. Like... Right before that,
Jaylen Brown probably said something that deserved that technical foul, but he was jawing at the ref hard.
And Eddie talked about it earlier. We played the audio where he's like, just sometimes the ref gets involved. And I believe
refs need to go away. Bring in the robot refs.
I'm not ready for that yet. Do we have more for They Said It?
Yeah, just one last quick one here for you, Courtney. Kyler Murray is traveling to Carolina to play the Panthers this week. The Cardinals are. Kyler was informed that it's going to be about 35 degrees in Carolina. Kyler Murray not used to playing in the cold. Here is how that went in his press conference yesterday.
No, I mean, I've played in cold weather before. It's not a, I don't know how cold it's supposed to be.
35. 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not excited to play in the cold.
No,
weather.
Not excited to play in the cold at all.
We
would you rather play in this, a million degrees though, or in really cold?
This is that question has circled the NFL and NFL locker rooms for, you know, since the beginning of time.
It feels like cold is way easier than playing in Miami.
I would rather play in cold weather all day long.
So you'd rather play in like 5 below in Green Bay than in 100-degree weather in Miami.
Your joints get so
extreme cold weather versus extreme heat. Give me the extreme cold weather all day long.
Really?
You know why? Because in cold weather, you know what you could do?
Warm yourself up.
You can layer up.
Yeah.
You can put on your thermals. You can put on
those heat pads in
there. The scuba suits, all the kind of, you know, cold weather gear that they got. When it is 100 degrees in Miami, you can't play naked.
Yeah.
You can't. You could take it. I've played in Miami and I've had no shirt underneath my shoulder pads, you know, basically just the pants. You know, the socks and you're pouring water on yourself and you're waterlogged and your shoes are waterlogged and you feel like you can't breathe and it continues to get hot. There's nothing to cool you off. I'm telling you, give me the extreme cold any day. And I played in extreme cold weather any day of the week. You can bundle up when you have that extreme heat. It's like nothing, you know, you feel like you can't breathe.
I just feel like the ground would be like a brick in the cold.
No,
but your joints are hurting, like you're just...
But you're moving around.
Yeah.
See, you got to understand.
Yeah, the adrenaline helps with the cold, right. Whereas when you're hot, you're just like, you can't breathe.
You're
miserable.
You're thinking, all right, I'm just sitting watching a game cold versus hot.
Yeah, I guess you're
But you're playing. The field isn't as bad because, you know, a lot of these fields, they got the, you know, I get what you're saying, but as you get warmed up in the field, kind of, Green Bay, they have a heating system under there, so, you know, it will unthaw a little bit. But I get what you're saying, that some of them, it feels like you're landing on concrete.
Yeah, let me tell you, cheerleading, hot over cold every day. Every day.
Well, yeah, because most of the time you're just kind of standing around and waving.
No,
so, like,
that's
you're
not
just
true,
freezing.
Shime, actually. You're not just standing around waving a pom-pom.
The actual game you are.
Tumbling on a brick, you know, cold
surface. Oh, that does
surface
sound miserable.
Sucks.
Right. Yeah, no, so give me extreme cold.
Are you able to tumble on sand?
Yeah, I mean, in my heyday, yeah. Today, no.
Not so much.
So no. You don't have the ability no more to like do like the backflip, stand and back.
No, I can still do like the splits and stuff, but I can't do backflip.
Like even if you ran a little bit and got a little bit of a running start?
No, I would
could
fall
you do
flat
it?
On my face.
Could you do it when you were in the prime of your cheerleading? Like, you know how they do the lines and the cheerleaders will like basically run and just flip all the way down?
Back handsprings, yeah. But we used to, BC liked to do on the center of a basketball court, we'd all be in a line and we'd do just a standing tuck one after the other and you would do it during the breaks until somebody fell.
Oh, wow.
And so you obviously didn't want to be the one to fall, but you're hoping kind of what
so
are your teammates.
So you could used to do like that stand and flip.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
the
impressive.
Standing flips never cease to amaze me. Like the standing backflips, impressive as hell.
Did you see the defensive lineman from Jacksonville do it?
I feel like guys can learn how to flip so easy. I don't know what it is. You can just come more up.
I think this is a new thing because when I played, no one was doing backflips. Now it's like every, you know, 7-on-7 game that you watch these kids, you're 14 and under, you 13 and on, these kids are like springboarding, doing flips like crazy. I'm like, man, where'd they get that from? I never seen that when I was playing.
It's crazy. All right, we got to take a quick break. After the break, we're going to get to the news, right, Shime? All right, we'll get to the news after this.